Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 8th of August, recording at 8:02 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first, a quick review of the week. And stock markets, well, they mostly ranged, but a little bit of choppy action, but Wall Street is pretty firm in here today. It's currently up over 300 points on the Dow. Now, elsewhere, big stories on the week were a surge in the dollar, and that actually accelerated here today, upward surge by the dollar. Another very big story is the continued weakness in crude oil and the other commodity markets, not least foods, and that continued today. Government bonds have been generally fairly firm, and those are the highlights. There's so much to talk about, I want to get right into it. Well, first, just a little review here in the overall economic background. Now, obviously, the Made in the West credit crisis is hugely serious. And as that began to break last year, I had no idea of the significance of it and the extent of it and the mendaciousness, as I've mentioned before, of the banking industry. But that's a story that has been gradually developing, rumbling along for really about a year now. And some people were pointing to the signs, the earlier signs of deterioration. We also saw the weakness in the bank shares from, really, Western bank shares from February last year onwards. Now, this situation is not yet completely resolved, because we are still getting write-downs, we are still getting dilution of shareholders' earnings. There are further problems out there involving credit loans and all sorts of other things. So this is going to rumble along for a while, and that, as I say, has been extremely serious for growth in the USA and also for growth in the European region. And the fact that these economies have mostly skirted by just above the technical recession definition of two consecutive quarters of negative growth does not at all, in my mind, in my opinion, alter the fact that powerful recessionary forces and deflationary forces are at work in those economies. But, as I say, it was a made-in-the-West crisis, and mostly confined to the West, although some Asian, a few Asian central banks, not central banks, a few Asian commercial banks were involved in the derivatives packages, as were some Australian banks. So this did spread a bit further, but the heavy damage, as I say, was in the USA, the UK, and a number of the continental European banks, not least UBS. Now, the perfect storm that I have described for a number of months there for stock markets really didn't unfold until the oil spike actually occurred. And in global terms, the crude oil advance, in my view, is much, much more serious than the West's credit crisis, because China was largely immune from that. Sure, China is affected by slowdown in U.S. consumption. And sure, it's affected psychologically in terms of its stock market. Sure, other stock markets are also affected because American investors bring capital home. But the crunch in terms of lowering GDP growth, frightening investors in those markets really occurred. Well, they were already on tenterhooks because of the U.S. problems and the negative Wall Street leash effect. But what certainly traumatized the central banks in Asia was the specter of runaway inflation, as food prices and then crude oil prices absolutely soared. And what any historian of the markets and economic events know is that when you get these spikes in crude oil, and I think there have only been three really big ones over the last 120 years or so, they have always caused recessions. And again, it depends a little bit on the extent of the actual spike and the speed with which the spike occurs. But we had, of course, one in the 1970s, and we've had one in 2008. But that's the bad news. The good news, of course, is that crude oil has been heading south steadily, and it's been clipped for another $5 here today, currently trading at 115. So that's a big move. As I say, on the downside, considering that it peaked out, what was it, around 147 something dollars. So that's come well down. Natural gas has fallen way back, fallen even more. And the agricultural commodities have been in retreat, and say they've been given another big push on the downside by the dollar's rally here today. So that background is improving rapidly. And I've described, as many people have described, central bankers as caught between a rock and a hard place, very concerned about the inflationary pressures, very concerned about their weakening economies, but really, I suppose, feeling that they could probably revive those economies, provided they didn't actually slip too deeply into recession, more easily than they could contain inflation. Once that inflationary psychology that leads to strong pressure through unions and, well, just from pretty well everybody in terms of wage increases, and there has been some of that inevitably, but the good news as we look ahead is that inflationary pressures are going to ease. And I also mentioned the recessionary forces caused by that credit crisis, and it is quite possible to have both simultaneously, to have inflationary pressures and deflationary, or at least disinflationary pressures as house prices come down and growth really, really slows and unemployment rises. So it would certainly be premature to declare a victory against inflation, but the trend has changed. And that really is very important. Mind you, the statistics that show it are lagging, but you can see what's happening in the markets, and that's the best guide. So that's actually improving the outlook for stock markets as we look ahead. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be shocks, frights, disappointments, boring, ranging, and we may well have to be patient. I've said this all along. The convalescence may well be lengthy, we have, in my view, certainly seen the worst of this decline now that crude oil and those commodity prices are coming down. Because what this means is that at some stage, one by one, these central banks will shift their emphasis from fighting inflation. They'll moderate that inflation effort. It wasn't going to be sort of an overnight kind of thing, but they'll gradually moderate that while still talking the talk and quietly get about assisting their economies to promote growth. And who's in the driver's seat on this? Well, it's really China, because China had worried first about its overheating, and rightly so, because it had a stock market and, more seriously, a property market bubble. It set about to deflate those, and it's done a pretty good job of that. Possibly too good a job, but I think they will step in and stimulate before all that long. And we've heard murmurs to that effect. Now, again, they don't get up and bang the gong, as it were. What we get is a gradualist move, little incremental baby steps in terms of changing policies. So, what does it all mean? Well, certainly this time next year, I expect stock markets to be higher. This time next month, I expect stock markets to be higher because another factor has taken place, which is giving a second wind to the technical rally, which, let's face it, had been quite muted. Can you remember I said that that we had an important low on the 15th of July, and that was also when we had, surprise, surprise, a significant peak in the crude oil price as that began to unravel. But people have understandably been nervous. But you know the background. We've had these hugely bullish sentiment figures. But stock markets were hit by conflicting news, damaged confidence, global deleveraging, and a pretty black mood. Just open any newspaper and you've seen enough of that. But again, with this commodity trend now in the right direction, things have been improving, and a dramatic change, really in the last, mostly in the last week, and a lot of it today, has been the surge in the US dollar. Now, that makes the US economy look like slightly less of a slow motion train wreck, if only because it has put a floor under fears that we were going to see another dollar collapse. And I felt there was definitely felt a month ago and more that there was a risk that the dollar could break down out of its overall trading range. And I have to say, I'm certainly surprised. I mean, I'm often surprised. Markets are full of surprises. But I'm surprised by the US dollar's strength. I think that owes a lot to short covering. I've wondered before in these audios if we didn't have a sort of a handshake agreement or more between the Saudis and the Bush administration on the basis that they went over cap in hand pleading for, let's see, Americans went over cap in hand pleading for more oil. And I think the Saudis, or I wouldn't have been surprised if the Saudis had said, sure, we'll increase oil supplies if you'll do something about the dollar in which our oil revenue is paid. We don't want to be giving you more oil for even weaker dollars. And a fair point. I hope I would have said that in their position. And at any rate, we have seen this big rebound in the dollar. Now, short term, the dollar looks overextended. Today's action is somewhat climactic. So I think we've seen the best of it in here, probably in the short term. But I've said before that, and again yesterday, that while I didn't fully trust this dollar strength, that I could see the chart action, and that's always going to overrule my other considerations. So this is a very powerful move that we have seen over the last 3 or 4 weeks. It has accelerated today, so we should expect at least a pause in consolidation. Now, looking at those various charts, and I have, by the way, I have done a big review, a big chart review here today in a somewhat different format than usual. I hope you like it, but whether you like it or not, give me some guidance in the form of feedback, those of you who are inclined to do so. But it's an extensive review overall. And what I pointed out is a lot of these patterns are quite similar because the dollar had been ranging for a long time, and then suddenly we got this surge up out of the range. Now, if the dollar is able to consolidate gains above its breakout points, then, in other words, get a first step above the little base, and then resume the advance, that will look very attractive technically. On the other hand, if the dollar falls back, if it doesn't get follow-through demand, in other words, if it was mostly short covering and we don't see the follow-through demand, or some of those central banks that hold more dollars than they're really comfortable with decide to get rid of some of them and drive it back down into those ranges against the euro and the Swiss franc and sterling and various other currencies, then we will be see, we will see the dollar confined to an extension of those overall ranging patterns, and the risk of new lows at some point will also increase. So that's going to be something very, very interesting to watch. But in the short term, what it has done has, as I say, has removed the concern over another crisis involving the US currency. So in terms of the perfect storm, and I forgot to mention when I was describing the perfect storm that the weakness of the dollar had been a player, not the main player, but a not influential player in all that. So let's look at all the things that are causing the problems. The Western banking crisis. Well, we're not through that yet. But, you know, it's rumbled on a year, so I would assume that at least we're pretty well way through the write-downs, but I don't want to be complacent. Did anyone say sanguine about that? So, you know, be cautious. Watch those late July reaction lows. I noted today that while the Dow and the S&P and the Nasdaq were all taking off, that the bank indices have showed a much more subdued rally. But that's because they had their big short covering covering earlier on. Incidentally, I do think that, as I say, that for stock markets generally, that this technical rally will carry further, and because of the changes that we're actually seeing. I've said since the 15th of July that I thought we were on course for, after that climactic selling, that we would see a technical rally that would last for at least a month or two. And I'll emphasize the at least a month or two. Might it be more important than that? Well, yes, as the evidence accumulates. And when I made that call, we were only at the very beginning of a pullback in crude oil, and this has been quite significant. Just going to stop a moment and have a little drink of water. It's a croaking voice. Excuse me. Okay. So, again, stock markets, the obvious beneficiaries of this big drop in commodity markets. Now, what does that do for the commodity super cycle overall? Well, the one thing that I've mentioned over the years that would be a factor is that if we had a global recession, that would certainly significantly slow that commodity super cycle, lead to a fairly lengthy pause, and then it would pick up again. I think that's the situation we actually have. I don't think we'll see a global recession, but it depends how you define it. The IMF, I think their definition is if global GDP growth drops down to the 3% level or below, that they describe that as a global recession. I don't expect, certainly don't expect China moving to move into any sort of recession, nor India, and nor most of Asia. But I do think that you know, we will see GDP come lower still, probably through the first half of next year. I also think China smooths its statistics out somewhat, as governments often do. But against that background, and that's not necessarily all that bearish for stock markets, particularly if central banks shift their emphasis away from inflation towards promoting growth. And that is what would make that's what would really give the current rally that we're seeing legs. I think we'll probably still have to be patient for a while, but the situation is gradually improving, particularly in terms of the inflation story. Okay, enough said on all that. What about what haven't I covered in here? What about gold and the other precious metals? Well, we're bombarded by bullish forecasts on gold. That's a little bit of a worry. A lot of them coming from people who are perennially bullish on gold. I am certainly I'll remain a long-term bull, but I see this drop in the crude oil price and I see this surging dollar, and I think, well, that's not a healthy background for gold. And people say, well, yes, but we're going to see deflation and recession, and gold will show some relative strength against that background. Well, maybe it will, but I've commented on that platinum lead. I've sold all my gold and silver futures, and as you know, and I think gold will probably break this 850 support, although probably not immediately. We might get a little steadying action, but platinum's led the way here once again. Silver broke down today and broke below that $16 level. So I'm glad to be out of those markets in terms of futures positions. This will create a bit of a quandary for people who are holding those bullion funds. And my own view is that gold and silver will be completing longer, somewhat larger corrective phases within their cycles. And I've mentioned on a number of occasions that they have these lengthy consolidation moves overall, and then we'll get another up leg. I look forward to playing it. But right now, I'm wary of those markets. Now, I think that's pretty well covered everything except for bonds. Bonds have been very firm in here. That is attributable to concern over stock markets, concern over global GDP growth. And maybe that will persist a little bit longer, although I'm not so sure. Certainly, the more optimistic people become that we're going to see a further stock market rally, and certainly if they then start to interpret that as signs that growth will be bottoming out sometime towards the end of this year or later, mid-year next year, I would think the latter is more likely. But stock markets will anticipate that and be heading up in advance of it. And at that point, I would think that people will say these long-dated yields are just not good enough. But meanwhile, choppy action, they're difficult to trade, as I know to my chagrin. Well, it's been a fascinating week, a trying week in many respects, but very exciting. I can certainly use a rest, and I imagine you can as well. So just have a splendid weekend, and all the best to all of you.